Who here ever makes decisions? Okay, you just made a decision. You decided to put your hand up or not put your hand up. And something went through your head which said, the reason I'm not going to put my hand up, even though I always make decisions, is, or the reason I did put my hand up is because we all make decisions. Every single day. Zoe and Vicky are netball umpires. And apparently, I was watching netball the other day. I'm watching the umpires. I was watching netball when my daughter won a grand final. Anyway. It wasn't just her. It was a team. But for me, it was just her. Apparently, an umpire in a netball game makes 5,000 decisions in every game. So in an hour of netball, 5,000 decisions. I'm tired just thinking about it. But we all make decisions, every single one of us. And so as a way into helping us this morning with the way that we make decisions, I want to lead us in a question. And this question will help you for the rest of your life. You can ask it at every stage of your life because it will shed light on the decision you make. This question will save you money, it will save you time, but more importantly, it could save you tears and trouble. Perhaps the greatest regret might have been avoided if you had asked this question. You ready for it? What's the wise thing to do? You can see up here, we have Sophos, that's Greek, the Greek for wise, wise man. And over here you'll see we've got wise woman, and we'll get to that bit later. But we are talking about what's the wise thing for us to do. In light of all your decisions you're making, how do you make a wise decision? I want to expand that just a little bit as a question for you to have for the rest of your life. Ask this question. In light of my past experiences, my current circumstances, and my future hopes and dreams, what is the wise thing to do? Well, there's a number of books of wisdom in the Bible, and one of them is the book of Proverbs. And the book of Proverbs is mainly accredited to a guy called Solomon, or King Solomon. Apparently, he's the wisest man that ever lived. And this book, and I reckon in this book, all dads, all men, everyone here, could learn something about how to live a more wise life. So Solomon wrote this book of Proverbs, but he also wrote some other books, one called Ecclesiastes. And it's most famous for a song by the birds. Does anyone know the song by the birds from Ecclesiastes? You've got to sing it with me. There is a season. Did I get the... It's the birds, right? There is a season. Turn, turn, turn. That's the one I know anyway. That was a dad joke. You should laugh. The pity laugh, thank you. He wrote that, but he also wrote another book called Song of Songs or Song of Solomon. And that's a book that you were never allowed to read when you're in primary school because it's a bit hot and heavy. If you think the Bible is very boring, go read Song of Songs. So Solomon is credited to have three books, mostly written by him. And each of these books are filled with understanding and insight into the human condition. And they are filled with wisdom. And in Proverbs, Solomon says there are four types of people. When we talk about wisdom and being wise, he says there are four types of people. The first he talks about... Can you see that? Maybe it's not high enough. Is wise. Wise people. He says that wise people look at the past, look at the present, and think about the future to make decisions, not just how they're feeling at that point in time. That's what wise people do. Don't you want to be wise? You're making a decision by saying yes or no. Don't you want to be wise? I do. That's what wise people do. That's one kind of person. Solomon also talks about another three type of people who aren't so wise. And I want to unpack them just a little bit so they can point us towards how we can grow in wisdom. Firstly, three disclaimers. The first disclaimer is this. There's a guy in the United States called Andy that I took a lot of this material from this morning. Just want to give credit where credit's due. Second thing is this. I don't consider myself to be unbelievably wise. Like some other people, I often like to think that I know it all, but I don't. That's the second disclaimer. And the third is this. You might be offended this morning by some of the things I say. Because whenever we talk about us not being told that we're not wise, people get offended by that. Some of the words that Solomon uses, and they're not my words, they're Solomon's, may offend you. And if you've come here this morning and haven't been to church much because you kind of go, I've been offended by someone, well, I might be the person you talk about on the way home in the car this morning. And I'm okay with that. And I hope you are too. So let's dig into these three different kinds of people. Okay, first kind of person we're going to talk about, Solomon calls the simple person. The simple person. Now, the reason they are not wise quite often is because they are young. Can you put your hand up, please, if you're young? Okay. If you are under the age of, say, 25, can you please put your hand up? Thank you. So someone talks about these people. Quite often they're young. Sometimes we say they could be, because of their age, they could be naive. Sometimes people might call them clueless. It's not because they're evil. It's not because they're stupid or dumb. But rather, they just don't have something that some older people have. They lack experience. The great sage and Bible teacher, Taylor Swift, tells us in one of her songs, and please tell me someone knows this, because if I know it, somebody else should. It's called 15. Has anyone heard of song 15? Yeah, a few, thank you. See if you can finish this phrase. When you're 15 and somebody tells you they love you, you're going to believe them. You're going to believe them. They just haven't had much life experience. Now, the best scripture that talks about, who Solomon describes as people who are simple, remember, not bad, not evil, not dumb, not stupid, just lacking some life experience, is found in Proverbs 7. I'm not going to read the whole lot to you now. Go home and have a read of it. Okay, but Proverbs 7, let me give you the summary. There's a young man, a young boy, who is walking right into a big mess. He's going to have some time with a lady of the night. And he's thinking to himself, it's all good. It's all G. It's not a problem. I'm going to be okay. And you start reading through Proverbs 7. And have you ever watched a suspenseful movie and you know that the murderer is in that room? And there's a group of people over here and one goes, I'm just going to go have a look in that room by myself. And they start walking along and you go, don't go in there, don't go in there, don't go in there, don't go in there. This is what's happening in this proverb. Because we can all see what's going to happen. He's walking into this mess, and this young kid thinks this is going to be great for me. And Solomon says, with persuasive words, she led him astray. She seduced him with her smooth talk. And this is the result of this simple person. We read, all at once, he followed her like an ox going to the slaughter, like a deer stepping into a noose, till an arrow pierces his liver, like a bird darting into a snare, little knowing it will cost him his life. What this young guy thinks is going to be good for him is bad. And the older people who are listening to this were probably going, oh, can't you see what's going on? Can't you see what you're walking into? You're so naive. You're so clueless. Not because you're bad or evil. He just lacks some life experience. Now, I know this could be offensive to you, especially if you're classed in that younger category. But quite often, a simple person responds to wisdom when you say something like this. You might say, that's not the wise thing to do. You need to think it through. Think about the consequence. Has anyone as a parent ever said that? And the simple person might respond, nothing's going to happen, I can handle it. Nothing's going to happen, it'll all be good. To which we might say, well, I'm concerned because when I was your age, I couldn't handle it. And in fact, there are millions of people around the world who at your age couldn't handle it either. And the common answer, and perhaps it's from your child or younger person, is, you're just overreacting, Dad. Has anyone ever heard that from their child before? Has anyone ever said that to their parent before? Zoe's putting her hand up. Thanks, sweetheart. This is not about you. Now, who as a parent knows why we overreact? Yep. Out of love. But we also kind of go, we can sort of see the future. We look into the future a little bit. We're not just looking at the here and now. Because when you're 15 and someone tells you they love you, you'll believe them because you're 15. If you're in this category, you have never experienced some of the life that some older people have. You've never been into debt up to your eyeballs. And yes, I am speaking to younger people now. You've never been into debt up to your eyeballs and think, how am I going to make this next payment? You've never been addicted to anything perhaps in your life other than your iPod or iPhone. And if you have, you don't quite know it yet. You probably have never had your heart broken in such a way that you can never trust a man or a woman again. You've just not been there yet. And we don't want you to either. We don't want you to. Last thing I want to say, if you fall into that simple category, please, 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 please don't trade what you want most for what you want in the moment. And I just looked at a couple of parents nodding their heads and going, uh-huh. It's so easy to just get what we want for the moment rather than what we want most. And the reason why some of you nodded your head then, because some of you are like me, you go, I wish I could go back to high school or to uni and think more about what I was going to do in the future rather than just what I was focused on in the moment. Maybe that's wisdom. And you might be young, but you can have the advantage of wisdom and wise people around you. And you're going to have to do the thing that other people in our culture don't do. In any situation that you get into, young people, any situation, ask this question. Stop and say, in the light of my past experience, my current circumstances, and my hopes and dreams for the future, what's the wise thing to do here? And if you don't know, ask someone. It doesn't have to be your parents. Yes, I said that out loud. It possibly should be your parents. But there are other people as well who are wise and can help you with things. That's the first category that Solomon talks about. Is anyone offended by that? I would have been if I was that person, if I was still young, because apparently I'm not young. Second category that Solomon talks about, and this is even more offensive to you, is the fool. I can see that my chairs aren't high enough now. I apologize for that, and I'll rectify it next time I do this sort of thing. Is a fool. Here's the difference between simple and fool. The fool knows, but the fool doesn't care. The fool knows, but the fool doesn't care. Hey, don't you know that'll hurt you? Yep. You're going to do it anyway? Yep. I don't really care. I don't care. I don't give a whatever it is the people you hang around with say. It tells you on the package, don't you see? I don't care. But in your first marriage, it didn't turn out. I know. I was there. I don't care. Don't you want your next? I don't care. Thank you very much. Solomon says, one of the wisest men ever wrote one of my favorite scriptures because I have to keep going. I'm just saying what I'm saying now. I have to keep going back to it, and you'll see the irony in that in just a moment. About the fool, Solomon says this, as a dog returns to its vomit. Can you just picture that with me for a moment? Can you get the mental picture? Has anyone seen a dog vomit and then what happens about 10 minutes later? What do? They go back, they sniff, and they lick it. You go, that's the same thing that licked my face. Solomon says, the wisest man to ever live, says about the fool, as a dog returns to its vomit, so fools repeat their folly. Hang on, last time you did that, don't you know what happened? Yep. And you're going to do it again anyway? Yep. I'm a fool, and that's what we fools do. Solomon also says a fool finds pleasure in wicked schemes. Why? Because it's fun. But it took you months to get over it last time, but it was fun. Now, most of us here are probably thinking of someone that fits into this category at the moment, right? Most of us are probably thinking about somebody, and you're kind of going, I wish they were here, or I hope that they're listening. But let's wait before we pass this on to someone else. If you know there's an error in your life where you say, I know this is wrong, but I'm going to do it anyway, Solomon would say that in that error of your life, you're a fool. A fool knows the difference between right and wrong and just doesn't care. So if you have habits that are slowly destroying areas of your life, physical, emotional, mental, spiritual, you need to think about it. See, the cure for this person in the simple category is simple. It's just time. They just need time to grow up a little bit. You know what the cure is for the fool? Tragedy. It could be physical. It could be relational. It could be emotional. For those of you who say, I don't care, here's what you need to know. And I speak to myself as much with this as to anyone else. In your mind, you say, it's my life. I can do with it what I want. It's my body. I can do what I want. It's my time. I can do what I want. It's my money. I can do what I want. I'm not hurting anybody. And this kind of thought and sentiment is where your foolishness has blinded you to your selfishness. Again, Solomon says, this is why you should get together with wise people. He says, walk with the wise and become wise. For a companion of fools suffers harm. What does he mean by that? See, the tragedy of a fool is not that you just hurt yourself. It's that eventually you will hurt someone else. And you can say all day long, it wasn't my intention, but that person is still hurt. I didn't mean it, but they're still hurt. But I was just, they're still hurt. Because the companion of fools suffer harm. Young people, again, can I speak to you? This is why, as parents, we freak out about who you hang around with. Because you might be wise, you might be thinking things through, but you might be the one who suffers because your friends don't give a rip. Because they don't care. Because they don't care about themselves. Well, would they really genuinely care about you? How are we going? Solomon says there's wise people. There's people who fall into the simple category, the fool category, and then all the way over here, I've put it on the other side because it's an extreme. We have the mocha. No, it's not a kind of coffee. It's a different mocha. This is the person who you don't want your boss or husband or wife or leader to be. They are a mocker. And some translations say scoffer. Who knows who these two are? Anyone know their names? Yeah, Deb? Thank you, Waldorf and Stadler. Who knows what they're from? They're from the Muppets. Can I just say, younger people, listen, I'm not picking on you today, but if you've never seen the Muppets, you have missed out on some mighty, mighty funny things. Thank you, Deb. Waldorf and Stadler mocked pretty much everything, didn't they? They always had an opinion about what wasn't good enough, what you could do better, and I don't like it, I don't care, and I know what's right. That's what they did. They never did it from being involved in things. They always did it from a distance, didn't they? The mocker is a fool on steroids. Not only do they know what the difference between right and wrong is and do not care, this is a person that scoffs at whatever, at the person who does what is right. We don't see too many mockers in the church, really. Probably because if you invited them, they'd probably go, what are you going to church for? It's all that fairy thing in the sky thing. You're an idiot. This is the person who is critical, condescending, and always puts you off balance. They control the conversation because they think they're the smartest person in the room, even when they aren't. And it's dangerous. Solomon says this. This is something for us to remember, each one of us. Whoever corrects a mocker invites insult. Whoever rebukes the wicked incurs abuse. Do not rebuke mockers or they will hate you. Pretty strong words from a really wise man who's looked at the human condition. Now this is Solomon speaking, okay? We need to understand, this is Solomon speaking. This is not God speaking. This is Solomon speaking. Ever felt like you can't win? Solomon goes even further than this. You know what he says? He says, in my experience, it's pretty much hopeless for them. Again, that's not God speaking, that's Solomon. Wise, simple, fool, mocker. Correct the simple, and they'll go, huh? What do you mean? I can handle it, it'll be all good. Not a problem. All G. Correct the fool, and they'll say, I don't care. I don't really care at all. I know. But I'm going to do it anyway. Correct the mocker, and they'll hate you. But correct the wise, and they will love you. Because the wise seek understanding. They think about the things in the broader context. The wise are not afraid of what they don't know and aren't afraid to listen to people who might know. They don't allow their overblown self-esteem and fear about being wrong drive their relationships. Because a wise person wants to be better and live more closely in line with Christ. Here's the thing. Eventually, whoever's sitting in these seats need wisdom. But there's a slight problem. Solomon would say, again, Solomon, this is Solomon, if you sit in these seats for far too long, sometimes you won't even recognize what wisdom is. Not only will you reject it, you won't recognize it when you hear it. It could become hopeless for you. Not from God's perspective, but from your human condition. And so what Solomon does at the beginning of Proverbs, Solomon pictures wisdom as a woman. Now that's not surprising to at least half the people here, is it? This is why we've said wise woman. Solomon pictures wisdom as this woman. And wisdom, this woman, is shouting out in the street. She says, who wants wisdom? Who wants wisdom? Come and get it. And this happens in chapter 1. And Solomon goes on to say, because if you don't seek wisdom, there's some cause and effect. I want to read you some of this chapter 1 of Proverbs. And this is what it says. Out in the open, wisdom calls aloud. She raises a voice in the public square. On top of the walls, she cries out. At the city gate, she makes her speech. So what this is saying is, wisdom is available to everyone. It's not just Christians. It's not just an age group. Wisdom is available to everyone. Anyone who wants it. She says, how long will you who are simple love your simple ways? How long are you going to be in that seat for? How long will mockers delight in mockery? And how long will fools hate knowledge? She says, repent at my rebuke, then I'll pour out my thoughts to you. I will make known to you my teachings. But since you refuse to listen, when I call, and this is Solomon speaking, not God, but when you refuse to listen, when I call and no one pays attention when I stretch out my hand, since you disregard all my advice and do not accept my rebuke, I in turn, says wisdom, and this is a threat or a challenge, whichever way you want to look at it, I in turn will laugh at you when disaster strikes. I will mock when calamity overtakes you. When calamity overtakes you like a storm, when disaster sweeps over you like a whirlwind, when distress and trouble overwhelm you. Wisdom is saying, sit in these places long enough and there will be consequences. And there will be trouble. And the disturbing thing about this, what Solomon says, wisdom says, then they will call to me, but I will not answer. They will look for me, but will not be able to find me, since they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. One of the heartbreaking things that I experience as a minister, and those people who are involved in psychology or counselling, or those people with genuine pastoral hearts, when someone comes to you with something, sometimes the first, a bit of reality here, sometimes the first thing I think is, why did you wait so long? Why didn't you ask for help earlier? And the scary thing, even more scary than that, psychologists and counselors will tell you this. You get to a point, and it's almost like, I'm not sure you can have what you want now. Because you chose something other. You stayed here too long. I don't want to grow up. I don't care. I know better, you're an idiot. Wisdom says, since they would not accept my advice and spurn my rebuke, they will eat the fruit of their ways and be filled with the fruit of their schemes. Does that sound familiar to you from a New Testament scripture at all? This whole idea of reaping what you sow. I struggle with that idea sometimes. But in the natural, in our humanity, we see it, don't we? For the waywardness of the simple will kill them. The complacency of fools will destroy them. And if you're reading this or listening to this by now, you should have the seat scared out from underneath you. But she goes on and says, there is good news. She says, but whoever listens to me, I'm calling you, I'm calling you, I'm calling you, will live in safety and be at ease without fear of harm. Now, some of you might say, Glenn, this has been an interesting Father's Day message. Can I just encourage you to hear my heart beneath this? The more wise people making wise decisions, not just the better your life, the better the lives of those people with whom you're in a relationship with. Whether that be people within this church, or in your school, or uni, or club, or work, whatever it might be. This is why the question we started with is so important, because we can move from these things. And if you sat here this morning and gone, I can think of someone in that category, I can think of someone in that category, I can think of somebody in that category, then maybe you might be the wisdom that they need to help them to move on. That's why you and I, and us as a church, can I say, need to ask this question. In light of my past experience, my current circumstances and my future's hopes and dreams, what is the wise thing for me to do? Wisdom would say, there's no hope, but can I tell you the good news? That we don't gather together to worship and to receive from a God of hopelessness, but from a God who promises us a future and a hope. Plans for us to prosper, which doesn't mean financially, it means to prosper, to live a full life, to have joy and hope and peace and patience and kindness and goodness. But you've got to ask the question, is this the wise thing to do? Let's take a moment to be still. Loving God, we thank you for your written word, because it's challenging to us. Lord, we thank you that we have the benefit of the wisdom of the ages to help us make wiser and wiser decisions. Lord, I pray, and indeed we pray together for those who fall into each of these categories. And Lord, I know for myself, I can quite often be caught in the fool category. Would you help us to not remain there, Lord? But would you help us to become wise? Wise for not just our own sakes, but for the sakes of those whom we love and we experience and are in relationship day by day, week by week, and year by year. Lord, if any of these things have brought pain for people this morning, whether that be through a reality check of themselves, or the reality of our current circumstance, Lord, I pray for your peace, your grace, and your hope of what can be to be present in their lives. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.